When you look at the titans dominating the headlines when it comes to space, it's no wonder that entrepreneurs seem to dominate the headlines. After all, the same spirit and the same guts and determination that you require as an entrepreneur are the same kind of motivations that you require in order to break the barriers and inspire everyone into space. So it's no surprise that Troy and I actually met at the Startup Leadership Program run by Grant Downey, for those of you who know it. And Troy, really, he summarises all those passionate qualities, the determination, the focus that you need, and the ability to pull together a community. He looked at the moon as a young child, and he saw the globe, he saw the blue illusion that we all saw, but then he also thought of it in a completely different way. He saw us as specks of dust floating on a ball that floats in nothingness. So that ability to envision, we're looking forward to your talk.
Thank you. Outside of this event, if I was to ask you, or I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but if I was to ask most people to think about outer space, perhaps you'll imagine galaxies far, far away. Or maybe you're old enough to remember pictures of the moon landing. But instead, I hope that by the end of this session today, that you'll start to think about space a little bit differently. That maybe you'll think about the GPS that the Uber driver used to get you here on time today. Or the weather information that farmers use to optimise their crops so that you can buy your groceries from week to week. Today, you can start your own space program cheaper than purchasing a fast food franchise. Crazy. And that's largely because of the last 5 to 10 years, space has become increasingly democratised. And there's sort of two main reasons why that's happened. Cheaper access to space. A lot of launch providers have realised that there's a lot of extra, well, not a lot of extra space, but there's some extra space for the small satellites that we can now build so that you can ride share essentially up there. And then there's companies like Rocket Labs, which are building small rockets that can take your payloads into low Earth orbit. The other aspect is technology miniaturization. So using the same supercomputers that you have in your pockets and on your wrist, we can channel that into a tiny little cube like what you see up here in front of a couple of the panels of the International Space Station. So there's three what we call CubeSats, for those of you who don't know, weigh about a kilogram, and they're real functioning satellites, and incredibly powerful at that. And in a little while, we'll actually see, it was yesterday that the University of New South Wales successfully, well, at least partially so far, successfully deployed one off of the International Space Station. And this is an incredibly powerful thing because we've actually seen that there's high school students around the world that are also building these small satellites and launching them, which again is just really, really crazy. And there's no reason, I'm going to take a quote from Andrea here, there's no reason why we can't do space cheaper and more effectively than the traditional supply chain. And so you'll see a snapshot here of what I've sort of drawn up as the Aussie space startup ecosystem. We already have all the components here ready to go. But what is missing is an effective mechanism to promote new growth and foster new inter-organisational networks. In Australia at the moment, we've got around 30 or so space startups scattered around the country. And two in the last year or so have raised around $10 million in total from local investors, including Blackbird Ventures and Atlassian co-founder Mike Cannon-Brooks. So what Moonshot X wants to do and what we need to do is to help them become more mature. A lot of these startups have really great ideas but don't necessarily know how to get their ideas, pardon the pun, off the ground. And when we have a space agency, this task will become much easier because we'll have a centralised voice to lead the local sector. So I'm very briefly going to talk about some of the downstream interests of space because it's not all about space exploration, as amazing as that is. So I'm going to quickly go through some of our major economic sectors. In telecommunications, probably the most obvious one, means new infrastructure. We've seen the SkyMaster satellites as a part of the NBN. What comes after that? We already know that some of the farmers that are trying to use those satellites are struggling to do what they want to and what they need to do. In the finance sector, it could mean new, untold new insights into so many different things, such as monitoring oil stores. There's a company called Orbital, and I always forget the last bit, Orbital something or other. Orbital Insights, that's exactly the one. They basically take data that looks very similar to what you see on Google Earth, except it's updated more frequently, and they look for around oil drilling sites and they look for what look to be oil tanks. And they can get really early insights as to how much oil has just been pulled out of the ground around the Earth and use that for trading oil on the stock exchange, which is, again, crazy, right? But it's happening now. In mining, autonomous mining robotics using special telecommunications infrastructure. And of course, and it seems a little bit like science fiction, but I don't think we're too far away, off-earth mining and processing. For the tourism industry, environmental observation and conservation. In manufacturing, building spacecraft and ground infrastructure. More efficient crop yields for agriculture. As we saw at the very start of that. A recent Deloitte report said that agriculture in Australia could be a $50 billion a year industry. If that's to happen, space infrastructure is largely going to be a big part of that. Education. Space-based enrichment programs, such as coding through programming spacecraft onboard the International Space Station. So some of you may know a company called CubeWriter based out of Sydney that are doing just that now already. Defence and intelligence, I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about this more tonight, but obviously having an Indigenous capability means that we're much less reliant on our allies. And of course, more efficient transport and logistics is possible through the use of geospatial data. So I founded Moonshot X, and it's a space startup accelerator. So I'm going to quickly describe to you what that is, because not everyone knows what an accelerator is, especially if we're talking about with space. Essentially, we want to work with very high-value startups that have a lot of promise, that are investable, that have a great business model. And we want to help them squish about 2 years of business development into 12 weeks. And the way that we want to do that is by giving them access to mentors, advisors, and experts from around Australia and also around the world. And that's both from entrepreneurial and space communities. We want to provide them with rent-free office space and seed funding so they don't have to worry about putting a roof over their head while they're focusing on solving a really critical and valuable problem for the world. We're currently talking with partners, or potential partners, to try to tee up exclusive space-oriented resources for these teams that are successful. So currently, there is a lot of red tape in various areas, and it's still quite difficult, relatively difficult, to get into space for your startup. If we can work with partners to make it easier and quicker to develop, prototype, and validate your hardware and get that into space quicker, that's going to put you in a very good position against your potential competitors. And of course, eventually, we hope to form a massive global alumni network. So what we've been working on for the last 10 or 11 months now is building essentially a funnel to enable this to happen. And I won't go through this in great detail, but essentially we're starting with trying to get people that aren't necessarily interested in space yet, or people that are, to think about real problems that could be solved using technology that is accessible today. And we work through with them to develop them into business models, to get some traction, to make some sales, and then hopefully they can tackle the world. So we're currently in our second week of a new program that we call the Gemini Pre-Accelerator. It's another 12-week program, and we're running with this with 8 teams from around the country, from Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth. And these teams, we found them through the NASA Space Apps Hackathon, which happened all around the world about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we're working with them to turn their ideas into something that is investable, and we're getting them to get out of the office and to talk to as many potential customers as possible to understand what their problems are and to work out what they need to do to solve them. The important part of this is that the focus is on the team, because it doesn't matter what idea they come to the program with, because it may be in 2 years' time they come up with something totally different. And if we can give them the skills that they need to understand how to build a space business, then that's what we want to achieve. So at Moonshot X, we cultivate early stage startups seeking to build or use next generation space-based infrastructure to solve real world problems on Earth and beyond. We've got key partners within the European Space Agency, such as Andrea Boyd, who will speak in a minute, as well as NASA, among other notable organisations. We've recently secured a partnership with Dr. Andrew Aldrin, son of Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who I spoke to about this idea late last year. Andrew, who orchestrates a master's course in space entrepreneurship at the Florida Institute of Technology, is very keen in working with us to establish a bilateral exchange program between Melbourne and the US for the purpose of fostering new commercial space networks. At the moment, at Moonshot X, we're looking to raise $1 million only $1 million, for the first full Moonshot X cohort of up to 6 teams. And we're hoping to raise this money from individual investors, from corporate investors who are looking to get an early look in as to what the latest technology and startups may have in store for them down the track. And of course, government support as well. And should we be successful, we'll be looking then to establish at least a $10 million fund to fuel this program in Australia and overseas, such as on the Space Coast in Florida. And together, we hope to fuel the growth of high-value space ventures and entirely new space supply chains that deeply embed us within the booming $350 billion a year industry. I've cut that quite short because I don't want to take too much time, and everyone's going to who talks after this is going to have some amazing points. But if you are interested in that at all, please come and have a chat to me afterwards. But for now, I'll hand you over to the experts of the Australian space industry. Thanks very much. Thank you.